Hello, welcome to the first episode of Mark's MMA Corner, Washington Sports Jam's MMA podcast. This is going to be the first episode of MMA Corner, and I'd like to remind you that this is going to be one of four possible new podcasts for Washington Sports Jam. I've already recorded Tennis Tangent, the podcast about tennis, the professional tennis, and coming up soon is going to be the DC United podcast, as well as a podcast about sports video gaming. So this is kind of an experiment. Whichever one is the most popular, gets the most downloads, the most votes, is going to be the one that I'm going to start doing full-time, kind of a monthly podcast to supplement the regular Washington Sports Jam podcast, which concentrate mostly on team sports in D.C., such as football, basketball, and hockey. So these are some popular topics that I like a lot, particularly, but the other guys on the podcast don't like very much, and to be honest, it's a little bit outside of Washington Sports Jam's purview in the first place. But I hope you enjoy these experiments, and I hope you will vote for which one you think is the best, and I'll let your friends know. So a little bit of background on my MMA fandom. I guess I started watching MMA pretty religiously. Well, not religiously. I became a fan out of the blue, sort of, in 2006. My dad got into it all of a sudden, and I started getting a lot of fights. And I started watching them, started following along. Not so much, but the past year or two, I've started to follow it a lot more closely. And I'm not a novice, but I'm not an expert in MMA in any shape or form. So this is going to be from the fan's perspective, as you would expect from Martian Sports Jam. As for my combat experience, don't really have any. I took judo for a few years in elementary school and middle school, but I mean, it was only a few years, and you basically spent the first year in judo learning to fall. So I don't have any kind of hands-on experience, but I feel like I've got a good amount of knowledge now after watching MMA for the past 4 years and watching it pretty closely. I think I've kind of picked on the nuances of the sport and why I like it. It's kind of harder to define. You know, at first the idea that you're seeing someone like a karate guy fight a kung fu guy or a boxer fight a jiu-jitsu guy sounds cool, but at this point, everyone that's a good MMA fighter is well mixed in all those kind of arts. So it's not really styles against each other at this point. It's more whoever's the most well-rounded, whoever uses his uses his strengths the best to exploit the other person's weakness the best. But I mean, there's a few reasons I like it, MMA a lot, and more than boxing and other sports like that, other individual sports. Well, the main reason is because anything can happen. It's really exciting. Anyone can beat anyone at any time, which a lot of people say that about a lot of sports, but it's not really true. Not everyone can go out and beat Roger Federer. I mean, obviously, I can't go out and beat John Jones, but anyone that's fighting professionally can catch someone else and beat them. The surprise is something that I find really exciting, and I also like how fast a fight can turn. And it can turn in a split second, and the fight can turn and then be over. Someone could be being dominated the whole time, and just catch a guy right and knock him out, or just get a guy in a bad spot and submit him. I mean, it's the excitement, the unpredictability of MMA is what I really enjoy. And also, you see guys that don't look like fighters, really. If you saw BJ Penn walking around, you'd be like, oh, I better not mess with that guy. But if you got into a fight with him, you would say that, definitely. So it's interesting. The biggest guy doesn't always win. The favorite doesn't always win. It's the unpredictability that I really enjoy in MMA. Not just the mixing of styles and obviously the excitement of people beating each other up, which are all guys like that. But anyway, so that's enough of an intro. So a little bit more about the actual podcast. It's going to be concentrating on the U.S. organizations. We're going to concentrate on the UFC, the Strikeforce, and Bellator. It's mostly going to be UFC and Bellator because UFC is the best. Bellator is free. And Strikeforce is, I haven't really been following it so well, so I'm going to try to catch up with it, but I'm not going to be as well-versed in those fighters and that kind of history. So concentrating on the American fighting organizations also is kind of a way that we're going to tie it into being a local sports podcast. We're not going to talk about Dream, talking about K1, talking about Shooto. It's just going to be the American organizations, which I guess would make it a local sports podcast, but whatever. Those are not just the local ones. It's also the ones I'm most interested in the first place and the ones that are most easily accessible for me. But today we're going to talk about UFC 129. We're going to go over, we're going to recap the last Strikeforce event. And we are going to talk a little bit about Bellator, the latest tournaments that are going on in the different weight classes. So to start off, the first thing we're going to talk about is UFC 129. This, obviously, the big headlining fight is George St. Pierre versus Jake Shields. Jake Shields, obviously, it was undefeated in Strikeforce and Elite XC and came into the UFC and was kind of guaranteed a title shot. He dropped down from middleweight to welterweight, had a not a very impressive win against Martin Kampmann. I don't even think I would give him a win. It should have been, I think it was more like a draw or possibly even a win for Kampmann. I wasn't impressed by Jake Shields fighting at all in that fight. And my prediction is that St. Pierre is going to win. And I think it's going to be pretty decisive. St. Pierre is not going to go to the ground. He's going to outbox Jake Shields. We saw how good his boxing was against Josh Koscheck. And his strategy against a good wrestler in Koscheck was to keep it on, to stay standing and not even try to stand and bang, but to kind of outpoint Koscheck, and slowly was working the jab and just kind of destroyed Koscheck methodically. And, you know, Jake Shields is going to try to get to the ground, but Pierre has excellent takedown defense. And even if he does get on the ground, St. Pierre is a good wrestler, and he's going to be a harder guy on the ground than probably Jake Shields has fought in Strikeforce. I don't know if anyone he's fought recently is in the caliber of anyone in the UFC, any of the top people in the UFC. I mean, it's not like Shields dominated Martin Kampmann, and Kampmann is a good wrestler, but it's not like Kampmann was going to be beating George St. Pierre. So I think it's going to be GSP is going to win. I think it's going to prove that Strikeforce is still second tier and that Jake Shields' win streak wasn't all that impressive when you look at the people he's fought. And if St. Pierre wins, he's probably going to move up to middleweight. And Jake Shields will be right back in title contention for the welterweight belt, even though he shouldn't be, because I don't even think he's in the top. If he loses, I don't even think he's in the top 10 of contendership. He didn't beat anyone in the top 10, in my opinion. Martin Kampmann was kind of on the bubble, as opposed to top 10 fighters in the welterweight division. If he beat Jake Shields, then I guess he would be in the top 10, but he's not. But he didn't. But some people say he did. So not a very impressive win for me for Jake Shields' last fight. If GSP decides to stay in welterweight, maybe Shields goes back up to middleweight and gets another freaking title shot. But anyway, my first prediction is Shields is going to lose to Pierre. The other title fight is Jose Aldo versus Mark Hominick. I'm going to predict the champion's going to win again here. I think Jose Aldo is going to win. Mark Hominick is a good striker, and he's tough, but Aldo is just a better all-around fighter. Aldo is on a huge win streak. He's at his peak. He's physically amazing. He's a physically amazing athlete. He seems untouchable almost in the ring. I don't see any holes in his game. I don't know if Mark Hominick found one. It seems almost impossible. Jose Aldo is a brilliant tactician, which I think he's such a good athlete. People might not realize, but he never engages if he's in a disadvantaged position, but he's quick to finding the opponent's weakness and attacking it. So his fights are never boring. So I really think that, Aldo could possibly be one of the best featherweights of all time. We saw him beat Faber, who was probably that crown before, we'll see what happens in the rest of his career, but he looks amazing right now, and I don't think that Hominick's going to take him out. The last big matchup of the fight is Randy Couture versus Lyoto Machida. This is going to be Randy Couture's last fight. I think he's 48, or he's turning 48 soon, and which is pretty impressive what he's done since after he's turned 40 in the UFC. But Lyoto Machida is coming on a 2-fight losing streak, but it's not like he lost to Scrubs. He lost to Shogun, and he lost to Rampage Jackson in a kind of controversial decision. This is the toughest matchup to call. Couture's not in his prime anymore, but he's so good. If Machida can keep it standing, he can outstrike Couture. And if he keeps staying long enough, he can possibly get a TKO. But if Couture's able to take him down, if Couture's able to get him in the clinch, I think it's over. I think Couture wins. I'm predicting a tough decision win for Randy Couture. I think he's going to get top position and a clinch up against the cage, and he's going to kind of just grind out a tough win against Lyoto Machida. And Lloyd is going to try to avoid contact. That's his game, and it worked when he first entered the UFC, but it hasn't worked so well the last few fights. He's a good striker, and he's admitted that's his game. That's his game, and that's what his plan is coming in against Randy Couture, because he doesn't want to get into a ground game with him, which is smart because most people wouldn't want to. But it's going to be a good fight, and Lotus said that he's not going to be as passive as he was before, so hopefully it'll be a nice exciting, well-paced and action-packed fight. We'll see, but as I said, I'm predicting Couture is going to win. Now let's go on to Strikeforce, the Diaz versus Daly recap. There was 4 fights, and we're going to talk about 3 of them. The headlining fight, obviously, was Nick Diaz defending his title against Paul Daly. It was a pretty short fight. Paul Daly had got a few nice strikes in, but Diaz outboxed him, answered back really quickly, and TKO'd Daly in the first round. After Diaz got tagged a few times, he answered right back, even sharper, and applied the pressure, and he just looked like unstoppable. It doesn't look like anyone in Strikeforce is on his level, and you would think that he'd be coming to the UFC pretty soon, based on that performance. The other title fight was Gilbert Melendez over Kawajiri. He also TKO'd Kawajiri in the first round as well. This was another one-sided thing. Totally Melendez the whole way. Total domination. Another guy we might see in the UFC pretty soon. Doesn't look like anyone Strikeforce is up at his level. There was another fight, Gegard Mousasi. I think I'm saying that right, against Keith Jardine. Very controversial. It was a draw. I think it was a terrible judge's decision. Just awful. Mousasi dominated the entire fight. Jardine was just getting just bloodied and destroyed on his feet. Just totally not. Not in the same class as Mousasi. He got smart in the later on, and then after, as the kind of, I think the end of the first round and the last two rounds, he started going for takedowns and taking Mousasi down as much as possible. But in my opinion, Mousasi won all three rounds. Jardine wasn't doing anything once he took him down. If you look at the actual takedown percentage, it's the same for both fighters. It's not. Jardine just tried a lot more, and he was trying so many takedowns because he was about to get killed if he stayed standing up. I mean, it's a good strategy, but it's not a strategy. He shouldn't have gotten a draw out of it. There was an illegal upkick in the first round by Mousasi. He got a point deducted. It probably made a 9-9 round, though should have been a 9-8 round, probably. And then for some judges, for some reason, must have given Jardine at least one round. I have no idea why. And Jardine just didn't look like he looks past his prime. And he's dropping down to middleweight to 185 because I don't think he's a. He doesn't have the power anymore that he used to, and at 185 he can be a little bit of a bully, I guess. But he might want to cut to welterweight, to be honest. But this brings up a huge problem with MMA, and that's judges' decisions. So terrible. Just think of any kind of thing that went to a decision, any kind of main event that went to a decision. You can say that was a bad decision almost always. I mean, the Mousasi Jardine fight, not a main event, but terrible decision. Don't know why that someone that was clearly getting beaten, why they would award them a draw. Terrible decision. There was the Brandon Vera Randy Couture fight, which also terrible decision. No one really, well, it's not as bad, but no one really was great in that fight. But a few times, Randy Couture ran away from contact. In my opinion, that should have made him lose the fight. There was the Machida Shogun, their first fight, when neither of them did anything for five rounds. It was awarded to Machida, I think simply because he was the champion. I mean, at least Shogun was initiating contact. All Machida was doing was backing away and leg kicking. It was terrible. He shouldn't have won. She's not have won that decision. So I don't know what needs to be done because these judges are awful. And then I'll talk about this now. In a recent Bellator fight, Joe Warren fought Marcus Galveo and he won by decision. I have no idea why. He was terrible. The first two rounds, he basically just let Galveo beat him up. Galveo would mount him and then beat on him. In the third round, Joe Warren finally started fighting. I guess they were making a big deal on TV, like, oh, he waits to be better later in the later rounds. Like, well, you have to fight the whole three rounds if you want to win. It was just terrible. He should have lost. And the judges all, it was a unanimous decision for Warren, and it was like 2-1. I don't know how. I really think that they're making a big deal over Joe about no Bellator champion losing one of these super fights, which is a fight that's not... is dumb. I don't like how they call them super fights anyway. It's a fight that's not a... Not, they're not putting their belt on the line, so who cares? They're usually fighting people outside of their weight class. So, but, he should have lost it because... it feels honestly, it feels like the judges were paid off. That's how bad the judges were. If you saw the fight, you would not think that Joe Warren won anything but the third round, and you would think the only reason they gave him the belt was because he was a champion. And I don't know what needs to be done because it seems to me that the champion is automatically given a close decision, or the older or the more established guy or the star. Another terrible decision was the Matt Hamill Michael Bisping fight in London, and apparently the two American judges gave the fight to Bisping, and the lone English judge gave the fight to Hamill, which tells me that the judges are afraid of getting killed. So I don't know what they need to do. They make the judges anonymous, but. I guess the judge, like referees in the NBA, the judges don't want to vote against the home team person, the home team. So they'll make a terrible decision just so that I guess they can get to their car without getting beat by the head with a bottle. If they need to, I don't have a good answer, but I think what they need to do is do the three judges need to. I think at this point they do, but I'm not sure. They should have to submit their scores after each round and make it official. They should be given the stats. If they saw the stats of striking and takedown percentage in the Jardine Mousavi fight, there's no way Jardine would have won. He was doing terrible. And there should be a fourth judge in an offsite who can look at these and call bullshit. I mean, what, like a challenge judge? I don't know if it's a terrible judging. And then, also, if the judges should be they should be relieved of their duties if they do a bad job. Those judges in the Jardine fight, they should all be fired. Judges in the Warren fight, all should be fired. They must have been bribed. That's the only excuse that I can think of. I love the one guy said that Galvao had three rounds to finish off Joe Warren. They shouldn't have left it in the judges' hands. Well, you're the judge. Maybe you should judge better, idiot. I don't know. I mean, a lot of people are saying, oh, it's harder than it looks. I don't think it's harder than that's one thing I think I could do, is honestly judge a fight. It was ridiculous. Anyway, so that was that little rant I've had chambered for a while, I guess. So now let's go on to our Bellator discussion. They're coming into the finals of all of the weight classes of the 8-man tournaments that they make. So for the welterweight finals, it's gonna be Rick Hahn versus Jay Hiron. The winner's gonna face Ben Askren. To be honest, I watched all the welterweight, but I don't remember. I'm sure it's gonna be a lot of ground game. Be boring. It seems like welterweight's kind of a boring wrestling division. I don't know. I don't really care. I have no prediction. In the lightweight finals, it's going to be Michael Chandler versus Patricky Freire, one of the Pitbull brothers. That's going to be Bellator 44. The winner's going to face Eddie Alvarez. That's going to be a good fight. I don't have a prediction. It's been a while since lightweight fights, too. But that's going to be a good fight. And so whoever's going to face Eddie Alvarez, that's going to also be a good fight. But no prediction. The featherweight finals, Daniel Strauss versus Patrick Pitbull Ferrari, the little brother of Patricky Ferrari. That's going to be a Bellator 45, and the winner's going to face Joe Warren. Daniel Strauss is probably the most well-rounded fighter in the featherweight division, in the featherweight tournament. He has a decent ground game, good stand up, and good defense, both takedown and submission. My concern is that he was letting himself be tagged too much. He needs to work a little bit on his head movement because he's getting hit a little bit in his Kenny Foster fight in the semifinals. I so honestly, I think Pitbull's gonna win. He's just too explosive. He TKO'd both the quarterfinals and the semifinals, and I think Strauss is gonna make a mistake with his head movement, and Pitbull's gonna tag him, and it's gonna be the end of the match. So if Strauss can make it through three rounds and bring it to a decision, he'll probably win. But I don't think he's gonna make it through three rounds. I think Patrick Pitbull Ferreri is gonna win. In the light heavyweight finals, it's going to be Christian Mumpumbu versus Richard Hale. That's going to be at Bellator 45. And they're going to be the champ because this is the first year they've done the light heavyweights. I'm predicting Mumpumbu to win. Hale was unimpressive in his stand-up and his ground game in his semifinal win against DJ Linderman. He had a Linderman in a on the ground in plenty of places where he could have tried for a submission or got a decent submission, but he just couldn't do it. He had that weird inverted triangle or something in his quarterfinal match, and Linderman said it was a fluke. And I'm starting to believe Linderman because his ground game against Linderman was awful. I mean, he tried to pass, but it was like all terrible. Like, didn't seem like he knew what to do. He seemed like he didn't really know what to do with his jiu-jitsu once he got someone on the ground. And, I mean, that's just not... Mpumu's too good for that. Mpumu has a grinded out style, but he also has, like, heavy... He also has very heavy hands. And he likes to grind the opponents down by both his takedowns and his striking. And I think eventually... I think he's going to take TKO Hale, and I think he's going to become the first light heavyweight champ for Bellator. So those are my predictions for both the next UFC and the upcoming Bellator. I don't have any predictions for the Strikeforce Overeem versus Werdum. I haven't really watched enough of it. I mean, it's probably going to be the best fight you could possibly have in Strikeforce, obviously. I don't really understand why the champion is fighting the quarterfinals. I don't understand. Like, if he loses, does he lose the belt, or does he get to play again? Doesn't make any sense. I have no idea. I don't know how that works. Doesn't make sense. But anyway, I'm gonna watch it. It should be exciting. Maybe they'll explain their weird tournament setup. But on the site on WashingtonSportsGym.com, we have the pound for pound Washington Sports Jam's MMA pound for pound rankings for the April edition, and obviously the May edition is coming in May. But just to go real quick, I have Anderson Silva number 1, GSP number 2, Jose Aldo number 3, John Jones number 4, and Cain Velasquez number 5, and. I'm little bit different from other pound for pound rankings. I've created a few rules just to make it easier on myself and to make it I think a little more clear. And my rules are: you have to be a champion of your division, and I'm only considering UFC, Bellator, and Strikeforce because those are the things I'm covering. My feeling is if you're not the best in your division, you're not the best pound for pound. And while obviously there's a lot of room to argue that, like BJ Penn is probably one of the best pound for pound fighters, and obviously I'm not going to argue against that, but it makes for a harder list when you have to compare people that aren't champions and people that are champions. It's just cleaner for me and an easier way to delineate it. And as for why Anderson Silva is above GSP, it's because Silva's just been amazing, and he's been champion since 2006. It's ridiculous. He's had something like 8 title defenses. He's won 13 consecutive fights in the UFC. That's incredible. It's never been done before. Probably will never be done again. And he's fought a lot of good fighters and pretty much cleared out the middleweight division. So I mean, GSP has, some people would say that GSP's late is right now is a better fighter. He's had more impressive wins lately, but he hasn't had the title for 4 years. I mean, he had it and then he lost it and then got it back, but he lost it. That's part of the reason why he's not as good in my eyes as Silva. If the super fight happens between Anderson Silva and GSP, I mean, that's gonna be a great fight. But I don't think it would necessarily be fair. I don't think it would really prove who was better unless GSP wins. Because, for one thing, GSP is more. Anderson Silva is huge, and GSP is more of a natural welterweight. If Silva could probably fight, has fought light heavyweight, so. When GSP bulks up, is he going to lose speed? I don't know. And if GSP wins, is that the signal that Anderson Silva's on the decline because he's getting older? I'm not sure. It's hard to say. I mean, it's going to be a great fight if it happens, and I hope it does. And Jose Aldo is third because, like I said before, he's amazing. He looks totally unbeatable. I mean, these first three guys are the most dominant fighters in their division, in their weight classes right now. And unless Hominick beats Holdo, these guys can tumble off this list. But right now, these three guys look unbeatable. I don't think anyone can beat them in their weight class. John Jones, I know, is a little bit of a surprise. He's a new champion, obviously, but. No one has even come close to putting him in danger. He has been dominant every fight he's been in. He's only lost only one fight because of illegal elbows in the Matt Hamill fight. But he also looks unbeatable. I don't know who could beat him. A lot of people could beat him, but no one has got him in trouble yet. And I don't know if anyone can at this point. He's just having, he's on such a hot streak. And the last, Cain Velasquez is fifth. I mean, he's not been as dominant, obviously, but the reason I think he's a good fighter is he's very well-rounded, and he's a complete fighter in the heavyweight division, and after Shane Carwin and Brock Lesnar, it almost looked like you could just be a giant wrestler who could knock someone out and win the heavyweight title. But Cain Velasquez proved that's not true. You have to be well-rounded in everything. That's why it's MMA. It's not just, I don't know, what you boxing, punching, punching wrestling. I don't know. I mean, he's going to be a hard guy to beat. But the reason he's fifth is there's a lot of guys. He beat Brock Lesnar, but I feel like there's a lot of guys in his division that can knock him off. Dos Santos is pretty close, and there's a couple other guys that could possibly. I don't think he's as high above the rest of his weight class as the other guys on this list. Other fighters in consideration: Dominic Cruz, Nick Diaz, Frankie Edgar, Gilbert Melendez, Alistair Overeem. I mean, pretty much the champions that are the proven champions, in my opinion. Makes sense. I'm going to have another article coming up soon. We got to get out soon, before UFC 130, 129, that is. Is number one contendership in the UFC. There's no official UFC number one contender rankings. So I made my own. They're not going to be official. Obviously, they're not affiliated with the UFC in any way, and they're not what I think the UFC number one contender rankings are. They're what I think they should be, rather. So, check that out. I'm going to have that up. So, make sure to check out WashingtonSportsGym.com. There's a ton of other articles about other stuff, and check out our other podcast, Washington Sports Jam podcast. And let me know what you think about the show. You can email me at marksmmacorner@gmail.com or mark@washingtonsportsgym.com. And just let me know what you think, which podcast you want to hear become a full-time podcast. This Mark's MMA Corner, the Tennis Tangent, or the upcoming United or the video sports video gaming podcast. That's all our topics for this week. So until next time, I'm tapping out.